What's up, guys? It's Gray Haas, and you have no idea how much it helps us when people like Gary, Amanda A., David A.S., and someone called Big Easy Blasphemy, great handle, by the way, join the Patreon. Our goal is to try to get to 500 supporters over there, which frees us up to do more things like live shows, live streams, and bonus content. You can even do a free trial. So please, please help us reach our goal of 500 supporters. For the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can help Mega keep going. Head to patreon.com/megathepodcast or check the link in the show notes. And thanks. Hey friends, you've probably heard me mention ButcherBox on here before, but if you haven't tried it, I gotta wonder, maybe you just hate deals? ButcherBox is high-quality meat and seafood you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep. It takes the guesswork out of shopping, and it is a godsend when it comes to saving me money and time. And here's the thing. If you're going to be cooking meat or seafood, just give it a try for a month and see if you like it. It feels decadent to have a freezer stocked with your favorite ingredients, and truly, who else is offering you free protein for a year? That's manna from heaven. What even is manna, by the way? Anyway, today, ButcherBox is giving Mega listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/mega, and use code MEGA to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/mega, and use the code MEGA.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Duncan Trussell Family Hour, he always mentions that when he's like crabby or losing his mind, his wife always goes, "Have you meditated today, Duncan?" And now I just realized that we have an equivalent of that, where if I'm like stressed out or my body's filled with adrenaline, you're like, "Holly, have you shaken?"
Holly somehow came upon this thing that if you get stressed and filled with adrenaline, you should get up and shake like a
dog shakes.
Yeah.
But and it's pretty funny. Works.
It's pretty funny to be around because I'll walk into the room and you look like one of the noodle men outside of a car dealership. And I'm like, oh, I guess something stressful happened.
But right before we started recording, there was a terrible altercation with cops and everything outside of our building. And I was like, oh, man, I'm still like kind of carrying this stress. And I feel sweaty and gross. And he just goes, "Did you shake?"
Shake your fears away, folks. It's the new Xanax.
It works for me.
Hey, it's Greg and Holly. We're jumping into the feed this week as ourselves, not as Gray and Holly, because this is called a Mega Mini. It's a midweek podcast that we normally do just for Patreon folks. Usually comes out on Wednesday, sometimes on a Thursday, and it gives you a little behind the scenes of what we're up to, the themes, the philosophies of Mega the podcast.
The points of view that come up in different episodes.
We do some poetry. We throw some music around on a playlist for you as well.
Greg has a great mini
Spotify playlist.
Mega mini Spotify playlist that's
it had
really
two
good.
Joke songs on it. One was Joshua Cadison. what was that song called?
Wasn't it
Jesse Paint a Picture
About how
it's gonna be. But
did you take the joke songs off? Because it's a really genuinely good playlist that people could put on.
Yeah, I took the joke songs off, and you had a Whitney Houston song on there that you really liked that I thought was actually a good song, but you said it was too jokey.
Well, I like this. I genuinely like this Whitney Houston song too. It's called "My Love Is Your Love," and the reason I think you had it on the playlist that you used on a mini episode,
because it references the Judgment Day.
It was because we were talking about the song on that episode because. Okay, it really, I get choked up when I even look at it. The opening lyrics of the shake, 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 shake your booty. The opening lines of the song are, "If tomorrow is Judgment Day and I'm standing on the front line and the Lord asked me what I did with my life."
Wait, I have to back up. Are we talking about the final battle? here, and Whitney Houston is on is doing battle with the Antichrist.
Okay. This is really
dispensationalist.
Okay, so friends and family out there listening, this is, you know, as you know, every Sunday we put out a mega comedy episode where we play characters, Hallie and Gray, and that comes out every Sunday. So then during the midweek, like Greg said, for our Patreon supporters, we put out an episode called A Mini, where we, as ourselves, deconstruct some of the ideas that came up in that week's mega, or things that are coming up in our culture, or things that people are contacting us about.
Sometimes it's just us bitching about how sick we got with COVID.
We were really sick with COVID. But so we're doing this now and putting it in the feed because sometimes we like to be able to deconstruct some of the stuff that Mega brings up.
We're also off this week technically from putting out the regular one.
And anyway.
Wait, I just want to go back. Is Whitney Houston fighting with Jesus in the final battle?
Okay, hold on. Let me look. If tomorrow is Judgment Day and I'm standing on the front line and the Lord asks what I do with my life, I will say I spend it with you. No, I think what she's saying is...
Well, she's kind of confusing Judgment Day and her judgment.
Yeah, I think... I don't know. I mean, we... I'd
Why
love
is she
to
fighting in the battle on
think.
Judgment Day?
It doesn't say a battle. I think front line makes it seem like...
she's at the front of the line at the pearly gate?
I think so. That's the way I take it is. If tomorrow is Judgment Day, meaning she has died and gone to heaven.
Okay.
And she's standing there and the Lord asks what she did with her life. Okay. She's going to say, I spent it with you.
I really like it. Well, first off, she's not getting into heaven with that answer, right? And... Technically, I really like it to imagine Whitney Houston at the right hand of sword-wielding Jesus when he returns to vanquish once and for all.
And Jesus is like, what did you do with your life? And she's like...
And she's like, whoa, 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 Jesus.
She's like, Jesus, do you know this guy, Bobby Brown? I spent my life with him.
And he's like, ooh, all right, let's go take on the devil. Anywho, we took that song off the playlist. What was your point? Sorry.
Not that it's a bad song, but it didn't really flow with how cool that playlist is. Okay. I'm really trying to plug your playlist. Just go to Spotify.
You.
What do they look at under Spotify?
It doesn't matter. I would most... you can find the... Here's how they get the playlist. They become Patreon supporters.
We're talking to you. Anyway, I wanted to start with talking about what... A topic that came up in our last mega episode, which in the little intro part, Gray and Hallie talked about the Southern Baptist Convention scandal that had come out.
Right. I mean, I guess it was a rolling, ongoing scandal. The Southern Baptist Convention finally hired an independent organization to put out a report about sex abuse taking place within the SBC after, you know, a newspaper in Texas, I can't remember which one, you know, exposed years of glossing over, covering up, moving folks around.
700 pastors and
people
in leadership.
They had a list of people that were having, that were
abusing
abusers
victims.
That they would just move people around. I mean, it's textbook, right? It's actually worse than, it's worse than you thought. I was surprised at the level.
Yeah, it's not good.
Deceit.
And it was in the news a lot that week when we were coming out with a new mega episode. And so we decided to address it in our intro. And we talked about the way we handled it amongst ourselves later. And you said something about, you know, we didn't really have a hot take on it, which I agree. We were sort of addressing it, but we didn't have the hottest of takes.
Our take was that it was the whataboutism that always happens with evangelicals around this stuff, which is, well, that's not as bad as, I think our take was, that's not as bad as what the Catholics do.
That was in there for sure. I think that in truth, we were limited as to how we could address it from the point of view of our characters, because we have certain limitations of having to speak through their voices and share their point of view. And so I think it could only be as hot as it could be through our characters, which, yes, they went into the whataboutism, but then they also were kind of doing the... But that doesn't happen at our church. Our church is awesome.
Never happens at your church.
And a little bit of just what I think is normal in these instances for a lot of people who find themselves sort of part and parcel of dubious commerce is that you distance yourself from it and you go, oh, not us, not me, not my church, not that, you know? And so we just kind of did that through the voices of our characters. And I think it kind of all rolls into a greater conversation we've been having on these minis for a while now. And it's also come up in some day episodes. I don't know if you out there, dear listener, have caught any of the day episodes, but we have had a small handful of mega episodes where I come on as my character Hallie's son, Day, and Day and Gray talk to each other. And those are always, when we record those are a new product since the pandemic that we came up with, because Greg had come on an episode as an impression of Nick Offerman.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we were high when we decided to do that.
I
guess I'm just going to be Nick Offerman this week. I think we had a guest cancel and we had to put out an episode. Yeah. And I didn't want to be Gray, so it was Nick Offerman.
Just simply because Greg had a fun Nick Offerman impression he was doing that week. And I was like, Greg, just do that on the Mega. And it was
a lot of people said it was such a sad and, quote, devastating episode, which I find really funny because... The darker, the better.
Because it showed how hungry Hallie, my character Hallie, is so hungry for love and affection, I think.
Yes. But going back,
because Lance Lebont just don't give it to her. But so Greg came on doing an impression of Nick Offerman while improvising with my character Hallie. And I had a blast improvising with your impression character. And then I was like, oh, I want to come on the show with someone. And we were talking about who it could be. And then I was like, oh, man, I'd honestly really love to come on as my son Day because... I know his perspective so well.
It tells you, too, that people don't listen through the credits because a lot of people always ask who plays Day.
Well, we move my voice down. What's it called?
A semitone.
We move my voice down two semitones on the recording.
Semitone kind of life.
And then, baby, baby. But then I kind of go down. I'm like, you know what? You know what, Gray? I hear what you're saying, but also I just was wanting to say that a lot of times when you center yourself in the story, it's hard for you to really be able to put yourself in other people's shoes. So I kind of talk down too. But I think I started doing Day because I wanted to more directly speak some of my actual points of view instead of having to double layer and reverse it through the Hallie point of view commentary.
Right.
And that's been sort of therapeutic. And people have responded and really liked the Day episodes. And I don't know how many there are in there now, 3 or 4?
I think 4.
But we'll keep coming out with them. But man, they're a...
Day should have a spinoff podcast, I think.
Yeah. Although they're so hard. I really have to prepare for those if I'm going to be quoting scripture. We usually have a theme. One time we had a theme of the creation story. One time we had a theme of the abortion issue in America and what the Bible really says about abortion. And one time, our last one was about reckoning with death, or talking about how death can sometimes be difficult to talk about or we don't talk about, and looking at what the Bible says about death or how it guides us through that as a part of life.
Yeah, I think that I would love to do more Day episodes. And I think going back to your original point of maybe we didn't feel like we had the hottest take on the SBC thing, I think what we try to do with Mega is come up with takes that, to the best of our ability, especially in those openers, that are commenting on the moment. And if any of them survive the test of time, that would be amazing, since 99.9% of all comedy does not.
What were you saying this week? You're listening to the Bob Odenkirk book.
Oh, yeah. I'm listening to Bob Odenkirk's memoir. It's really great. It's called Comedy, 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 Drama. Might not be interesting to anyone who's not in the business, or show business, as he likes to call it.
Show business and sandwiches.
I sort of know Bob just, in passing. We have a lot of people in common, and it is really funny. My bit about him is always that he loves to talk about show business and, comedy. And he's always eating a sandwich. Talking about,
you should go over there and get a sandwich. It's so good.
But
the other day you were listening to that book
and
that
he talks
he's
about
narrating.
Sandwiches a lot.
And I was listening to it. You had it on the speaker when you were taking a shower.
When he met David Cross, he was eating a sandwich and didn't get up to go to the door to meet David Cross.
He's like, I missed him because I had a really good sandwich. And just hearing him talk about sandwiches in his book with his voice narrating was fantastic.
But you know, something he said in the book that he gives credit to Eric Idle from Monty Python is that I think Eric Idle says all comedy is critical, and meaning that, you know, everything that every joke essentially can be viewed as being critical of someone or something in the world. And it just depends on who's the recipient. And so I think, you know, we tread an interesting...
So when there is critique, there will always be someone who is offended by right. that critique.
When there is comedy, there will always be critique.
Meaning there will always be offense.
Right, right.
Which
and
is
so
interesting.
It's an interesting time, I think, when offense kind of comes to the surface with so much of this stuff that, you know, I think I'm always of the opinion, like, if you're offended by something, it's like your choice to participate in it. You know, in the economy of whatever that person is making. And I don't know, it's just an interesting time, I think, where I think offense becomes such the headline of, you know, certain jokes or personalities. And, you know, I do kind of think that, you know, there's someone that's always going to be offended.
Well, it's important to, with comedy, I guess with all things, is to, I'm a big advocate of like questioning everything, but I think a lot of times with comedy specifically, if you just can break it down enough to be able to state the target of the joke,
yeah,
like what was the target of that joke?
Right.
Was the target of that joke a vulnerable community, like the trans community, or, you know, like punching down? The whole idea of target and punching up or punching down, are you punching up at these powerful structures that, you know, seek to oppress or repress or groom or, you know, whatever? Or are you punching down at vulnerable individuals or communities?
Right.
Like, for instance, I really do feel my heart's desire, our goal with Mega has always been to play our characters to the height of our intelligence and with as much integrity as possible, to actually be them and share their point of view in a way that is satirical and comedic, but also is humanizing them and kind of showing maybe a little bit of why they see the world that way. And any of the targets of our joke when we're punching... My hope and my heart's desire is that we're punching up at the power structures.
Hey, don't go after the SBC, Holly.
Punching at
a lot
at,
of
punching
nice
up
people.
At powerful at the powerful and not at the vulnerable. So I think target of joke is really, really important. So like I think I notice that. I'll watch stand-ups where I'm like, oh, this is starting to hurt my soul. I'm gonna change this channel. I'm not
right.
gonna watch this person, I'm not gonna listen to this person. But I first will always be like, is this just hitting too close to the bone? Like I don't like being made fun of, or maybe my ego gets involved. Or is it that it feels like the target of this joke is, or these jokes are like it's targeting a vulnerable group. It's genuinely like coming at women in a way that isn't thoughtful and talking about the way in which, you know, women are like females in our society are a marginalized group. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I think the target is really important, and to be able to distinguish why I'm offended when I hear stuff. Cause I get offended all the time. And I know that sometimes people,
but do you get offended? I guess my question is like, what do you mean by offended?
Actually, no, I think I'm really hard to offend.
That's what I think too. And I think offense is a different thing than not,
liking someone. Like, who's that stand up that hurts my feelings so bad?
Chappelle?
That white guy.
Oh, Bill Burr.
No, that other white guy.
It's just list.
He's always going in so hard on women, and it's in a real kind of like mean-spirited way.
But
and
it's
like,
so much a comment on that person too that I always think. And,
yeah,
and
yeah.
What is our responsibility really with these? I think we've elevated them into being something that they're not also, which are like ombudsmans of like their stand-ups don't have to be, especially all stand-ups or comedians for that matter, don't necessarily have to be the philosophers of our modern age. And the ones who think of themselves that way are the ones that I actually take the least seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that I don't know. There's something about, there's that Groucho Marx thing. I don't want to be a part of any group that would have me as a member.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's true too, or it's just the instinct to want to set yourself apart is so prevalent when it comes to this business or this way of living and thinking that, it sometimes gets in the way because you just want to, punch at anything that, to set yourself apart. And I think that also becomes, just annoying and problematic, but
yeah.
You know, even the silliest comedy is still critical and there could be people offended by it.
Sure.
I'm not even talking about like the hot button stuff of that day's like Twitter storm, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that it's an opportunity, when something does really rub you the wrong way, to use that as information of like, breaking it down. Like, why does that bother me? Oh, what is it that I'm feeling? I'm feeling anger.
Also, okay. It shows you where your value lies.
Exactly.
Which is so great.
Why am I angry? Oh, because a boundary has been crossed. What does that mean? Oh, it means I have a boundary there because that boundary is there because there's something that I value here. And so right. I'm trying to protect something that I value. And so I think it's really interesting to kind of break it down. It's sort of my favorite thing to do, actually.
I also wonder if it's, I feel like we're leading into, so we've been sued by the SBC. But I think that, I think MEGA is a good example of that, which is, you know, politics and religion, right? It's the things that you should ever talk about at the dinner table. And, for the most part, we've never really had anybody, come after us too hard about things that we've said on the podcast. And the times that we've had, it's been a really great conversation. Pretty, which is absent from a lot of those conversations. So I'm kind of glad for it.
Yeah.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anyway, don't DM me if you're really offended by our SBC comment.
One of the things that came up in the last Day episode, where Day and Gray were grappling about issues surrounding death in our culture and looking to the Bible for answers or guidance therein, one of the things that came up that I found so interesting that I can't stop thinking about is how humans as storytellers and humans as individuals so naturally center ourselves in any story, right? And that's a thing to be mindful of because it can limit your ability to put yourself in other people's shoes.
I'm sorry, is this about me? I wasn't listening.
Nice one. And
a nod, a tip of the cap.
But one of the things that came up in that Day episode is that Day was pointing out that with this sacred text, these 66 books of this particular canonized Bible, humans so deeply center themselves in the story of this deity, this all-powerful deity, the creator of all things.
Yeah.
This God force, according to our story and our hot take on it, is that this massive God force, the powerful creator, is completely obsessed with this one human Homo sapiens species on this one blue dot planet in the vast cosmos.
That it really needs you to sing to it.
He really likes when you sing to him. And he is so obsessed with humans that he, depending on how you look at the redemption of the cross or the technicalities of how that worked, whether you believe that Jesus was God or whether you believe that Jesus was the Son of God or both or one or the other, whatever, God either was so obsessed with wanting to be in relationship with this human species that it poured itself into a material experience and then killed itself, and or poured its son into a material experience and then killed him.
You're sounding like a real evangelical with being in relationship, because that was actually something that Billy Graham, that even the language of being in relationship with,
yeah, you're right,
God is like a something that came out of the 50s.
That's the real Jesus movement. Yeah. Because you didn't really have that. How did you describe?
Because I did have that. It was, I mean, that's the importing of evangelical language that happened everywhere. I'm reading Jesus and John Wayne right now. And if people are interested in American religious history, buckle up.
Holy smokes.
It's great. But helps really contextualize a lot of what's going on now and what has been going on.
But when Greg's reading it, I just hear him from the other room muttering, "These bastards, these bastards, these bastards."
Yeah, it's a little bit disconcerting at times. But yeah, you know, a lot of that, interestingly, a lot of that personal relationship and in God we trust, and you know, but that was all sort of the Billy Graham
new
era.
Language.
Yeah,
because
I don't think Jesus ever says anything really about having a personal relationship with him.
Right. And that really kind of tripped me up when I was younger, to be honest.
It's kind of weird because it's a relationship that that you know, most relationships, at least you can get one ride to the airport.
Or a like casserole when I'm grieving. Relationship really was hard for me when I was a believer and I was trying to make it work. That relationship lingo was part of what didn't work for me, because, and I remember I used to say, maybe if the word was experience, that would make more sense to me. Like, I experience God in the following ways. I experience God sometimes when I'm walking in nature and watching the sun come through the, you know, branches and leaves, or when I, you know, like, I experience God in these moments of beautiful human connection, or I experience God in the quiet moments of my own intuition.
It would have been way better if it was the Jimi Hendrix experience for me, because I was like, if this was like the Jimi Hendrix experience, which I was obsessed with for like 6 months in high school, oh, I would have definitely been in that relationship.
For me, it would have been the Jim Henson experience. If this could all be like a Jim Henson experience, I would definitely.
It's actually more
this.
Like a Jim Henson experience every day, I feel like, than it is a Jimi Hendrix experience all over the world.
But to sort of personalize that centering thing that I'm learning we humans have a tendency to do, and trying to be mindful or pay attention to or learn the ways, or be able to recognize the ways in which I center myself, and then really in situations and scenarios and circumstances, and then really miss out on maybe a greater truth of what's happening because I'm so caught up with my own experience of it or whatever.
Lost in your own story, as they say in acting class.
Yeah, I think I've been noticing it. And we were just talking about this on a Twitch that we do a Thursday night Twitch, like live stuff, where actually,
I like how you slip that in.
Actually, we are once a month going to be, you can just pull it up online on Twitch and you can watch us record a live mega episode
on Twitch
online, and you can like see it happen, and you can see all the like ways that we are laughing quietly.
As our producer described Twitch, it's like public access inside a slot machine, and I think that's the perfect scenario for the perfect description of Twitch.
So it has been fun. Thursday nights on Twitch, you just look online and
come chat,
and we're on there hanging out, and we're talking and chatting with the group chat, and then once a month we're going to be recording a live mega episode on Twitch that you can watch the behind the scenes, or you can watch it as the sausage is made. But anyway, in our Thursday Twitch this week, we were talking about that idea of centering yourself and projecting also, because I was thinking about this morning. The more I'm learning about the way we project our feelings onto other people, the more it's making me think, oh, I think sometimes I do that still to the idea of God. Where there are things, I've noticed this about like even members of my own family, like usually the qualities of the people I love in my family that drive me the most crazy are the ways in which I'm exactly like that.
Right.
And so it drives me nuts about them because I hate it in myself. And I was wondering if I do that to the idea of God.
Oh, I'm sure.
I project these things I really don't like about me, or that are really unpleasant to feel or whatever, and I project it onto the God of the Bible.
Supreme being.
I think of like, oh, I've had to like put up boundaries and kind of like, you know, like not have an unsafe person be in my life. And then I'll be like,
you got jealous and decided to smite me.
No, but I will be like, oh, God casts people out and doesn't work on reconciliation. He sent Lucifer out of heaven. He sent Adam and Eve out of the garden. He sent the people of Israel out into the desert. Like, he casts people away.
Next thing I know, you're like, pack your shit.
Just get the hell out of here. But I'm like, oh, is that me being like, oh, do I have an ability to cut off someone who hurts me?
Well, isn't it all of the things? Of course. Like, that is the, you know, just look at every Greek god. It's the easier way for me to imagine it, which is just like, these are all expressions of the interior, right? Like,
that's so interesting. So I mean, we just get all we conflate Jungian. It into a big god-like thing, yeah, but we're talking about ourselves.
Yeah, some are jealous, whoa, and some are warlike, and some are
loving,
mischievous, and some are drunk.
That's so interesting, Greg. That's so good. Because I was thinking a lot this week. My big sort of personal revelation this week is that I have started to become more clear in recognizing when other people are projecting their feelings onto me and blaming me,
mm-hmm,
and recognizing that and saying like, oh no, that's not about me. That's actually about you. That's your thing, and I'm not going to take that on. The better I've become at recognizing when other people are doing it, then it led me to think, well, it stands to reason that I am also doing it.
Sure.
And that I could also come to a place of recognizing where I'm doing it. How could I do that? And then I started going through. I was like, well, it stands to reason that I could just listen to the things I'm saying about the antagonist in my story that day.
Yeah.
And then I could just apply it to me and see if it rings true, whether I like it or not.
Yeah, I think you can't one size fits all that.
And I'm not talking about like blaming yourself for everything. I'm really trying to get away from that because that is definitely a default mode of mine. But I think it's being honest with myself and also wanting to be intentional about, I don't know, I almost said blind spots. And it's impossible to know your blind spots because you're blind to them. But the things that I can take responsibility for, my example of this is that I have a relative who I've been saying for years, I'm so confused about this relationship. It just feels like they don't like me and don't want to spend time with me. And so then I did my little reverse engineering thing on it to be like, oh, what if I said, I am so confused about this relationship. It seems like I don't like them and don't want to spend time with them. And then I was like,
oh, I'm not this relative, listener.
Oh, yeah, it works.
Yeah.
The math works. And it's so interesting because once I realize I'm projecting the way I feel onto that person, then it really does change the nature of how I'm experiencing them. Because they're probably doing the same thing back to me. It's a vicious cycle.
It's so crazy too, because we're just such complicated little creatures with our interior lives are so messy and completely, we try to explain them so much with words and therapy and all these things, but I always go back to the most part that we're sort of driving these flesh trains around with a subconscious that is way more unruly than can be put into language.
Yeah.
And that's always really
hard.
And
it's really understandable because the reason we project the way we're feeling onto other people and blame them for the way we're feeling is because we don't really have the skills or we're not even aware we're doing it. It's either ego driven. We're not even aware and or we don't have the skills or the wherewithal to know how to actually feel the thing we're feeling. Like, for instance, aggression. Maybe if you feel aggression in your body, it's so unpleasant to you that you do this thing of like, this isn't me. This is you.
You know what I'm going to tell you if you're feeling aggressive?
Shake, shake, shake. Shake, shake, shake.
Shake it off.
Food.
You got to get that shake it off back in the playlist.
And this is why we put Mega out, because it's good to laugh and to let your body shake with laughter and recoup. And then in the minis, we'll get into deconstructing all of the maybe, you know, damaging ideology that can come from some of those like fundamentalist points of view and trying to distance yourself from painful things rather than taking responsibility for them and all of that. But
so I want to change the subject because I do have something funny to share.
Go.
And then we'll do a poem.
Okay.
But so I got added to the wrong email this week. I got an email in my inbox that just said prayer breakfast 7:15 community church.
This happens to you all the time.
It happens to me all the time.
And Greg always engages the email thread.
This is the kind of one you don't want to send my way, folks, because I am going to reply.
His last one had time machines where he was like, I can't be there this weekend, but hopefully if my time machine works, I'll be there last weekend.
So this one was from, we'll call him Carl B. And it just said, guys, menu, Joe's team, scrambled eggs, bacon, Konica sausage, pancakes, grits, fruit medley, juice, and of course, strong coffee. God bless Carl. I had to get back in there and reply. So I said, hey, Carl, adding a few things to Greg's prayer requests, crepes, vegan bacon, better jokes, shorter prayers, you know who I'm looking at, Dave, a third Top Gun movie because that was cool as hell, Sloppy Joe's, not typical for Brekkie, but let's get wild. Indica or a decent hybrid like Narnia Dave or Oregon Dwarf. More real stories from our lives. Fewer Bible stories. They're a little dry, to be honest. A James Dobson impression contest. No more handshakes, a lot more hugs. We can be more vulnerable physically always. And for me, weak coffee or maybe some alternative because it really does a number on my basement. Prayers up. To which I got the reply.
Two simple words.
Okay, okay.
And then I wonder if they took you off the thread.
Yeah, I did post that on my Instagram and people were like, are you off the thread? And I was like, if he's a good Christian, he will not take me off the thread and maybe see this as a secret opportunity. So that's that.
Question. Did you just say, I'm looking at you, Dave, because it's highly likely there is a Dave? Or did you see that there was a Dave the thread?
I guess there was probably a Dave because it was a BCC.
That's a really good, really good guess.
Yeah. Hey, before we jump into a poem, I'll be totally honest. The Patreon is the backbone of Mega. And if you've thought about, if you've enjoyed Mega, almost 200 episodes of Mega, we would love it if you just joined at $5 a month. You get this mini every week and you get ad-free episodes. You'd be surprised. Mega gets downloaded, I don't know, a million times a year. And we put so much time and work into it. And, them ad bucks do not add up, folks, I will tell you. If you can't, no big deal. But if you can have an extra $5 a month to throw our way, you know, it's a coffee these days.
You'd be surprised. Between like 80 and 100,000 downloads a month, we have like 300 supporters. It's like a really small amount.
I think you know what it is sometimes too is people think someone else is doing it.
Yeah.
And then I'm the same way because there are podcasts I listen to and I don't support them, but the ones that I started podcasting, the ones I really do listen to, I did
definitely
start supporting them.
Yeah.
It's kind of like public radio or something. And you know, we give this thing away for free and we would love it and be so thankful if you joined. That is our call for tithes.
And we work really hard on the megas and but we really love doing the minis too. So
yeah.
And then you get that awesome playlist. You're about to hear another great Hess pick coming right up. But first, should I do the two-headed
calf? I don't know. It's kind of sad, happy sad. It's kind of whimsically sad.
You decide, friends.
Yeah, let's do two-headed calf. Before we do this poem, hey, hit us up on social media because that's where we're going to be announcing our tour dates starting in July. Lots of fun cities, LA, Portland, Dallas, Chicago, Nashville, and New York. Maybe a few more added in there and you'll find out about it there. So
those shows will have special guests. Those shows will have live music. Those shows will have dancing.
We want to meet you in the flesh. Press the flesh, hug the flesh.
One flesh.
One flesh.
One flesh.
Man flesh.
Man flesh.
All right.
Two-Headed Calf by Laura Gilpin. Tomorrow when the farm boys find this freak of nature, they will wrap his body in newspaper and carry him to the museum. But tonight, he is alive and in the north field with his mother. It's a perfect summer evening, the moon rising over the orchard, the wind in the grass. And as he stares into the sky, there are twice as many stars as usual.